All right, go ahead and find your seats. You know, Revolution kicked off last year, and I saw an episode of it. It kind of looked like the series Lost, and I was intrigued by it a little bit. It's on for a second year now, so maybe some of you are following that. You know the cast is really well. I don't. But it's the basic premise is something happened that the power grid went down throughout the earth, and so there's no electricity. It's kind of anarchy reigning, and there's this group called the Monroe, what are they, the Monroe Militia? Is that what they are? Yeah. Some of you Revolution people there. They're the bad guys. They're the bad guys, so they're kind of controlling the world, or particularly that corner of America by force. And then there's the rebels, and the rebels are the good guys. And both groups are after this pendant, or I think there's maybe a couple pendants that have the potential or that can get the power grid back up and get electricity back on the earth. And of course that Monroe group wants to do it for their evil powers and that direction, and the good people want to do it for good. The opening introduction has this: we lived in an electric world, we relied. And then the power went out. Everything stopped working. We weren't prepared. Fear and confusion led to panic. The lucky ones made it out of the cities. The government collapsed. Militias took over, controlling the food supply and stockpiling weapons. We still don't know why the power went out, but we're hopeful someone will come and light the way. I like that. So we know Jesus came to light the way to a broken world. And the next 8 weeks to this is going to be our fall series. It's going to be a Revolution series going off Peter Scazzaro's material, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And the subtitle of it is Unleashing a Revolution of Life in Christ. This series is going to challenge me, and I think it will challenge many of you. It'll challenge me because I'm not an inward, touchy-feely guy. And this material then starts probing inside of who I am and who you are. We're going there because I really believe that our growing in Jesus Christ, wherever we're at on our journey, if we're kind of that, I believe, not so certain he's just going to do all these things, is going to come. Hard, you're saying Jesus is real. I love him. I'm following him. He's proved himself real in my life. I'm journeying with him. Wherever we're at on that spectrum, I believe our maturity as followers caps where our emotional maturity is. So if I have a kink in my emotional life, in my something there, I'm capped where I can grow in Jesus Christ. And I'll never get beyond that until I break through with some type of healing. And this emotionally healthy spirituality helps us move through that. And it's not just by working harder, praying longer, reading more of the Bible. That's going to get us there. So I'm excited about this series. It's Revolution. But that's not where we're at today. Today we're at, how do I really follow Jesus? How do I really follow Jesus? See, Jesus invited those around him to follow him. And he said, just real simple, you know, follow me. They were clamoring after him, and he did amazing things. They wanted to know more about him, and he just said, well, follow me, like, check me out. See if I am who I am. See if what I say is real. How many of you have have ever wanted somebody to go with you either to a concert or some event, you knew they were kind of not wanting to go, so you made it sound easier than what it would be, just so that they would come. I mean, our family goes up to Pathfinder Village up in Hinckley to camp, and we know that one of our children doesn't want to go, so everyone else is like working hard to try and draw them in. It's like, oh, it'll be so easy, you know, we'll set up your tent for you, and we'll have such a little, the weather will be great. But their resistance is this. The last time they went, all they remember is like at 2 a.m. in the morning, the tornado sirens went off, and they had to get up and go to like the shelter place and jam in there with all the other sweaty bodies. And there was transistor radios there, you know, listening to the weather, and we were there, and then it was back to try and fall asleep then. And so we can't talk him into coming, but we try and make it sound so easy. In a week, next week, I'm going to go up to the Boundary Waters. And it started this way. There's three of us guys get together Monday, Wednesday, Friday at the weight room there at the high school. And Gary is one of the guys. And he says to Larry, not this Larry, but another Larry, says, you want to go to the Boundary Waters? And he's trying to talk him into going to the Boundary Waters and making it sound easier, you know, than what it is. And it'll be a great time. And Larry's like, I don't know if I'm going to go. And I'm saying, well, Gary, if Larry doesn't want to go, I'll go with you. And so I'm in on this thing. And Larry's coming. And Gary said, okay, we're going to go make it simple. And we're going to be there overnight at Moose Lake right out of Ely. And you just cross Moose. And it's a 75-rod portage into Windy Lake. And then we're going to camp at Windy Lake. So, like, easy cheesy. And I went to the maps, and the next day I said, did I hear you right, Gary? You said 75 rods. He says, yeah, 75 rods. It's going to be great. I said, my map says 175 rods. A rod is like a canoe length. I think it's 14 and a half feet. So the difference between 75 rods and 175 is... well, 175 is almost a half-mile portage, and it's up-down. I was looking at the kind of the, so you're going up almost 700 feet and then down, and it's more up than down going in. And so now the easy-cheesy part isn't so easy, and we'll leave on Friday, and now Friday's backed up to Thursday because looking at it reality-wise was, well, if we leave on Friday, then to get back Saturday, we're only there one night. So we're leaving Thursday. And it's all getting harder, but we put it as easy first to try and get him in. Well, Larry's in, thankfully. It's going to be a great trip, and we'll have an adventure sometime. But sometimes I feel like we do that with Jesus. We want people so badly to follow Jesus, we say, you know, Jesus just says, come follow me. And that's all. And then we can maybe say John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes, that's all you got to do is believe in him. And we make it sound real easy. And then as they're following, we say, well, you know, you should give money. And then you should read your Bible. And then you should pray. And you should be water baptized. And you should be Holy Spirit baptized. And then they're feeling like, what, my goodness, I just, you know, you said just follow Jesus. And I kind of feel like we sell it like an infomercial. You know, take Jesus, but wait, there's more. You know, the Ginzu knives, if you follow today, but wait, there's more. So I was just thinking about this of how do I really follow Jesus? And what is Jesus saying about all this? What's his words of following? Because some of it's real, where he just says, follow me. And then the next thing, he's telling some people to, like, hate your family, or carry the cross, or deny yourself, or give up everything. It's like, okay, how demanding is Jesus? Is it as easy as following, or is it as hard as giving up your life? So I'm going to invite you to turn to the book of Matthew. We're going to start with Matthew 10. If the Bible is newer to you, Matthew's in the New Testament. It's not split up like right in the middle, you know, thinking Old Testament, New Testament. There's more old than new. But Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If that's tricky to find, you got this great thing at the beginning of the table of contents. Find Old Testament, New Testament. Find page number. Last week, I dropped my short pencil. I quoted Mother Teresa, how she talked about we're just a pencil in God's hand. And he's the one that's doing amazing things. We just have to allow him to be used. And there's a co-worker of mine. I have this little gig during Monday through Friday, a three-hour block of delivering meals on wheels. And so the senior center, pick up the meals and have this route that I go on. And one of the people there at the senior activity center, her name's Lisa. And Lisa, I noticed, I thought, and I'm not a real perceptive guy, and a lot of guys, we struggle that way, but I kind of got this idea. Lisa was having a tough day. But she wasn't crying or anything obvious like that. So I'm thinking, I think Lisa's having a tough day. And I didn't get opportunity really to ask at a kind of a convenient or right time, hey, Lisa, how you doing? The next day, I'm thinking about this, whether Lisa had a rough day. She comes up, we talk, we need to talk. I'd like to talk to you a little bit. And I thought she'd say, we got a new client, we got somebody you need to deliver, here's the address, here's the situation. She said, I saw your church sign, and we've got the sign out there. I saw your church sign, and it was something about God cares about your work. Was that? I believe God does care about our work, whatever work we're doing. I said, I'd like to talk to you about that. I really believe it was in response that I had prayed, like many of you did. It says, God, let me be your little pencil in your hand this week. And I know that she's skeptical about Jesus. And I know that she's probably had some people beating her on the head with this Jesus stuff. And I know she's believing in something different, and I think his name is Armstrong, and he died some years back, wrote some material, motivational guy. But unlike the guy that I believe, this guy's still dead, and my guy's alive. And I think that's a big difference. So I hope you're at Matthew 10. Let's start in verse 32. We're going to go through 7-8 verses here. And this is Jesus instructing his 12 followers that he said, follow me. And they're pretty hardcore followers. And they're going along with him. And now he's sending them out to like let the town ahead know that Jesus is coming. And so he's giving them some instruction. So Matthew 10, verse 32. I want to invite you to stand while I read this. Thank you. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, these are really hard words and seem like conflicting words from what Jesus had said earlier. So we ask that you help us understand this. Help it mean something in our life today and transform us and change us to be like you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can sit back down. So Jesus says some remarkable things here. And I think from this, there's three instructions he gives us about what it means to really follow him. That first one is acknowledge him to others. And I look, what does acknowledge mean? It means like admit, recognize. And so I'll be acknowledging Jesus to my friend Lisa and saying, I believe he is real. I believe he's everything that he says he is. I believe he's the Son of God, and I believe he's alive today. I believe he cares about your work, and he cares about you. And I can just share from my story, and I can share from the Bible that I believe is true. But I'm acknowledging. And what Jesus is saying is that if you acknowledge me before other people, I'll acknowledge you before the Father. That's a pretty big thing. And if I deny him before others, then he'll deny me. That's a tragic thing. I mean, I don't want Jesus before the Father because I've denied him. You know, or I clammed up, or I was embarrassed, I didn't want to talk about him. And have Jesus say, well, Father, I'm not going to acknowledge Mark Radeke to you because he didn't acknowledge me. That to me is a bad thing. So I think to really follow Jesus, that aspect, acknowledge him. And wherever you are in the spectrum, that's how much you can acknowledge him. I've been following him quite a few years and seen quite a few things, both where he's answered prayers amazingly, and other times he hasn't answered prayer. I've been through the spectrum where I've said, I don't know where God is. I don't get it. I mean, to me, life should work out this way, and it's not working out this way. And I've seen the other end of that. And say, God is smarter than I am. He really is. And just because I follow him doesn't mean I have a trouble-free, problem-free life in this world, because, you know, there's good and evil in this world. That's kind of that Revolution TV series conflict happening of the forces of good and evil and who's going to win. Who's going to come out at the end. So the second thing from this passage here, he says, don't suppose I come to bring peace. You know, I hate to say it, but I heard, and I haven't been in there, my son and daughter-in-law work at Menards, and they said they're setting up Christmas displays. Can you believe it? I see the Halloween stuff at Walmart. Because I thought, well, it's Halloween's got to get up and out, and then they clearance those items. Then it's Thanksgiving, and then Christmas. How can they just kind of jump right into Christmas? Well, at Christmas time, we're going to hear what? Isaiah passage. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, right? He's the Prince of Peace. What's he saying here? I didn't come to bring peace but a sword. Well, I come for what? I mean, I thought he was peace. What he's doing, he's recognizing that when you acknowledge him, there's going to be pushback by some people. And it may be from your parents. It may be from your children. It may be from relatives that just don't buy this Jesus guy. And I say, be ready for that. Be ready for this conflict. And to give Jesus first place in your life. Now, it's not giving permission for children to rebel and saying, great, you know, your kids will read this and say, I got the ticket to rebel. Jesus says, you know, no, that's not what he's talking about at all. He's saying, be willing to have Jesus take first place. You're going to follow him even if your family doesn't follow him. You're going to follow him above everything else in your life. We're going to go to a story after this that kind of highlights that. See, Jesus doesn't take place well, ever. I mean, he can't. So if we try and push him into second place, it doesn't work. It's like, well, Jesus, I'll just take you along with everything else. Dinesh Chand is from Himachal Pradesh area of India. He lives in Shimla, and he's like 0.7% of that entire population that believes in Jesus Christ. Strong Hindu influence there. So we were there, a small group of us, and he's having this dialogue with the taxi driver that's bringing us from one town to another town. And this taxi driver, he's ready to accept Jesus, and you can convert a lot of people quite easily in India, in India, because they'll just add it, and it'll be simply God number. I mean, they'd have hundreds of gods that they follow. So they'll say, well, fine, Jesus sounds good. I'll just add him to my collection of gods, and that's a good thing, especially if Jesus is a good guy. And I don't recall if this was one of the same drivers, but I know one of the drivers pulled over to the side of the road. He had bought a loaf of bread, and on the side he starts throwing the bread out the window. It's like, what's going on here? He's breaking it into pieces, throwing it. Pretty soon there's monkeys all over the place. Because this was the day to appease the monkey god. And you need to make sure that he's happy so he doesn't do bad things in your life. So if Jesus is somebody I don't have to buy bread and throw out the window to, that's a good thing. It's less work for these guys. But Dinesh made it very clear, if you follow Jesus, you have to get rid of all your other gods. Because he doesn't take second place or 13th place, or he doesn't take a seat alongside anybody else. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. And so he had all these trinkets and stuff on his rearview mirror that Dinesh said, if you're serious about this, this is what you have to do. You have to throw these things away because they don't count anymore. They're not real. They're not true. This is the only true God. And it's that aspect of making him first place. And that's what Jesus is telling them here, is that you can't love anything. The third thing of really following Jesus is to lose your life to gain his life. We see that like in verse 38 and 39. And this passage here in 39, I'm going to reread it. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses a life for my sake will find it. This is in all four of the Gospels. This is in Matthew, it's in Mark, it's in Luke, and it's in John. Well, that's kind of a big thing, that each of these writers wrote this verse almost word for word. And in two of those Gospels, it's in there twice. And right above that verse, he talks about carrying your cross. Well, what does carrying your cross mean? Well, Jesus died on the cross. We know that. But it's that thought of, you know, that they had it separate. There was the beam that maybe already was in the ground, that vertical beam, and that they had to carry that horizontal beam on their shoulders. And we read the account of Jesus, you know, he'd beaten so much that he was struggling to carry his cross, and they had some other guy carry it for him. But he says, deny yourself, carry your cross, which is like taking a death sentence to the life how Mark Radke wants to live his life and control things around me. Is saying, I'm taking a death sentence here, and I'm going to carry the cross of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to live for him and not for me. So it's that aspect of losing your life to gain so much more. But I keep wanting to go back to thinking, yeah, but Jesus, this, I really like doing this stuff. Or I really want to do it this way, and this makes so much sense, and I think this will work out so much better. And it's always like I'm trying to think that I think smarter than God. But God's ways work. So go forward to Matthew 19, right in that book, and just flip forward. And these three ways of following Jesus come out in this exchange that he has with this guy he's rich and he's young and he has a position of authority. Some of the other passages, the Gospels then repeat this story and they describe him as a ruler. So here we are in 19. We start in verse 16. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" So he's saying, "Jesus, how do I follow you? And what good things, what do I got to do then to get this life?" And Jesus said, "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There's only one who's good." He's talking about Father, his Father. "If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." And he's really kind of baiting him with this. He's really bringing this out to show him this isn't going to work. And so the guy, "Which ones?" the man inquired. Now, if he's connected or if he's been following the Pharisees, they already had 631 rules for them to follow, commandments. And I was like, this is a lot of work. And when they were trying to trick Jesus up, the Pharisees came to him and said, "Which commandment is the most important?" Because they kind of had a hierarchy of them. 631, that's a lot to follow. And said, "Okay, love God and love others." And he went back to Deuteronomy, which is in the Old Testament. Here the guy says, "Well, which ones?" There's like 631. And so which are kind of like the primo ones that I follow here? And Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." What's that sound like? Anybody? The Ten Commandments. There's five of them right in there. And the guy says, "All these I've kept." The young man asks, "What do I still lack?" I think it's remarkable. He's a good guy. He's following all the rules. And it's left him empty. He's saying, "I'm doing all this stuff, but I'm still not there." He knew that much about himself. What do I still got to do? So Jesus, in a sense says, "All right, point proven." He found out just doing and working harder isn't going to get it. So he says, Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. See, Jesus had kind of read him and said, he loves God, but he loves his money more. And God is in second place, and this isn't going to work. But what will work is if you take your first place item, your treasures, your wealth, and you give it away, now I'm number one. That's going to work. But the guy went away sad. He couldn't do it. So that's that aspect of giving Jesus first place. And I think each one of us has something that vies for that position. And maybe it's our time. Maybe it's our family. Maybe it's our status or position. Maybe it's our education. Maybe it's our sports or something there seems to be always competing for that number one slot. And Jesus will just nail us and say, "I know what it is. And if you just put that aside, now I'm number one again. Life will go better." We have that choice of, am I going to do that? Am I not going to do that? Then Jesus says to his disciples, and I don't know if they were like on the side, just kind of this inner exchange, or if they were right there next to him. But they're close enough that they saw what happened, they heard what happened. And now he's talking to them, the rich guy. He goes off, maybe mumbling, maybe hanging his head, but he couldn't do it. He couldn't follow Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. All right, kind of a great visual there. Camel, needle, thread. I got to use these guys to read the print here. So threading a needle. And some look at it and say, well, wait. Maybe it's not talking about a literal needle. Because I understand in the Jerusalem, there's these gates and entrances. And one of them was a low gate, like they called the eye of the needle. Where for a camel to get in, a person could walk in just fine, but camels are pretty good. And they had to get down on their knees and kind of, crawl in to get in. And that's what Jesus was talking about. Either way, that's a pretty difficult thing. It was difficult for that camel owner to get that camel to get down on his knees and then get in under that gate that a person could walk in easy. So he's making a point here. It's hard for rich people because riches vie for that number one and steal it. And steal it pretty good. So if anyone's here struggling with your finances, you can feel good. I don't have that struggle. Oh, man, I didn't know that. That was a good thing not to be rich. When the disciples were greatly astonished. I mean, they're not rich guys either. And they're saying, well, who then can be saved? If that's the case, who can be saved? To me, the obvious answer is poor people can be saved. But he doesn't say that. He looks at them and said, with man, meaning with humankind, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Peter answered him, and Peter, brash Peter, he's always good at just kind of answering, blurting things out. We've left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? We acknowledge you, Jesus, and we're giving you first place because we've left all. We've left our business, our fishing nets, we've left our family. We've left it and we put you in first. We've lost our life and we're giving it to you. Jesus, kind of what's there for us? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He's talking about those 12 disciples and have a place of authority there. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive just a pinch more. Is that what it says? No. Many times. Mine says 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last and many who are last will be first. So what do I do to get eternal life is what this guy was asking. Jesus said, obey the commands. Which ones? 613 of them. He lists 5 of the 10 commandments. He said, I've kept all these guys. Okay, there's still a spot stolen there in first place. Give it up. So he goes sad. Peter says, we left all. The things you leave will be matched plus 100. There's an old song that goes, Jesus and others and you, wonderful way to spell joy. Anyone know that song, heard it? It's a golden oldie. I'm surprised you guys haven't right here heard that. But it's saying, here's how you got to live your life. Jesus gets first place, others get second place, and then you needs to be third. And then that acronym, that's how you spell joy. That's how you get joy in your life. But really, that's a flawed hierarchy. It really is. Here's how we should think about it and look at it, is that Jesus is center. He's central in our life. And that everything that's coming off of this is kind of like a spoke on a wheel. That my family then is centered in Jesus. It's not this hierarchy thing. That my work, my hobbies, things I like to do, you know, whatever you have on there is simply a spoke that's emanating out from Jesus being center in our lives. That he's central. And it's not like this hierarchy that, you know, Jesus is first, and Connie and my kids are next, and then I'm last place, but that's the way to follow Jesus. Jesus is just central in my life. So this is kind of a fun morning for me. It's always like, how good will I present? Because I had an exciting couple days. Rachel and I were up at Detroit Lakes. My daughter Rachel and I, we left Friday after work. And so we hit the road about 6:30. We're there at 9:30. They have their first session at 10 p.m. Young Life works with high schoolers and middle schoolers, and I'm on a board committee with them. Rachel works with the high school group. Nick and myself are going to be volunteering to help with the middle school group. That's going to be exciting and a fun thing that we're doing. And so 10 o'clock p.m., we have our first session. It gets done about midnight. I'm getting in the bunk then. Next morning, up and at them. And we got back this morning at 1:30 in the morning. And I still had some tweaking to do with the message. And so it was about 2 o'clock then, a little after 2 when I get to bed. But two bowls of ice cream and some cookie dough helped kind of punch me through that nighttime preparation. But Jesus is center in my life and all that I do. I sometimes think when I have these like short nights, I might be a little punchy and kind of have this quirky, and we got some guests here, and I want you to like me, and I want you to like our church, and I want you to think we're just out there. We're going to do something different here that we did up there. It's kind of out of the comfort zone, out of the box. But I want you, first of all, to think of these hard questions that this passage poses to us about how do I really follow Jesus? Because everyone's launching their fall series, and we've got an exciting fall series that starts next week. I put this out last week. I had it in the bulletin, I think, was like, how do I do the Christian life, or how do I do the Jesus life? I kind of tweaked it to a how do I follow Jesus, and then I made it how do I really follow Jesus. I put it out there on the board. And I thought, it sounds so, I don't know, it sounds so basic. And I was really encouraged then, the owners next door, one of the owners, Taryn, then just opened the door. Open. I hear it open. I look through. She pokes her head in and says, Mark, just want to say I really like your signs, and I really like what you're speaking on this Sunday. I thought, that's what my ego needed to hear. Thank you, Jesus. But hard question here of how do I really follow Jesus, because I think it's serious. You know, and we don't want it to come off like an infomercial. We don't want to soft sell it, because he does say, follow me. And it's saying, like, once they're following, then he really invites them to cross that line and say, if this is real, this is what it's about, it's everything. So a good question for us to ask, do I acknowledge or do I deny or ignore Jesus in my talking to others? And I'm not saying that you just got to pummel people. Maybe you've met people like that they're just like, whoa. They're like way over the top with this Jesus stuff and maybe coming off self-righteous or something. But I'm talking about really is just sharing life in a real, authentic way. So am I doing that? Am I ignoring those opportunities? Or am I just flat out denying that I'm just not going to accept, or I'm not going to admit that I'm a follower of Jesus. That's a hard question. Hard question number two is this. What do I need to give up that's being for Jesus first place? What do I need to give up that's making Jesus second place? Is there something in my life? Is there that controlling finances, controlling? I want you to think about that. I'm going to give you like 30 seconds to think about that. I'm going to ask you then just to kind of circle up with three or four others. And I'll give you the freedom of circling up with those you're comfortable with. And especially if you're a guest here for the very first time, you could just pair up with those that you know. If you want to take the with somebody you don't. But okay, first, give you 30 seconds. Answer this in your own mind, your own heart. Do I acknowledge that Jesus would maybe just spot and say, this one thing you lack, give this up, we'll be good.